actually included. But yes, it does. It goes, that money that they pay goes into the special revenue fund. And then it's available to pay expenses of the food program. We also have going into that special revenue account, we have the money from the dialer act. So that that money would generate within a special revenue account. Certain donations will go into the special revenue account. And so that money is available to pay off additional costs. So if you give me a second.
You mean what goes in from the lunch program can be used only for the lunch program?
No.
No. Anybody can take the funds out of that special revenue?
No. It has to stay within the Senior Social Services Department. It has to stay within that department. But the way the costs run down there, most of the costs would be used for the cafe. The only other thing is some costs could be used for senior programming too. You want to take a bus trip somewhere and there's some money in it. You could direct some of the money towards a bus trip.
What bus trip? Bus trip in years.
Yeah, well, I think COVID's partially the blame for that.
It was long before COVID.
For that too. So if you look at what we have budgeted for food and supplies, what we have budgeted for wages, and then what we anticipate through special revenue account, you got to turn the volume down on one of those things. Okay, thank you. That's okay. So if you look at again the revenue from the general fund that we put into the meals, 9,200, the wages, which is 9,616, special revenue, which we anticipate to have about 5,550. The total amount you have available would be $24,366 for the meal program. Based on what you're currently spending and then the wages, it looks like the cost, total cost would come to $22,332, which would mean you'd have a slight surplus within the special revenue account, which is actually what you like. You like
cupcake fund.
Excuse me?
A cupcake fund.
Yeah, I mean, to give you an example, at one point in Park and Rec, we had almost $200,000 of surplus within their account. So when we start talking about doing splash pads, different programs, and buying things, we have that fund and available to buy it out of that fund. So we're looking, you still got to turn that. Yeah, you got to keep the volume on the roof. Thanks. And so we're hoping that we can get a little bit of a surplus within the special revenue fund. If you need it, you spend it. But, you know, we'd like to be able to keep a little bit of a surplus with it. But as the costs are currently going, and with the money that we expect to have in the special revenue fund, any amount we're budgeting, there should be enough money in there to pay all the food costs. So as we look at it, one, we're paying a lot more than what was originally anticipated. But again, there may be reasons for that. And as far as I know, the meals are very good. And two, even with that increased amount we're paying, there should be enough money that's still there to pay for the cost of the meals. And then the other issue is with the hours, Laura's hours. We do have that budgeted at 12 hours. That is up from the original 6 hours. Currently, you're averaging about 11.5 hours per week, what is being averaged. We know that because we know how much you've been paid. We divide by the hourly rate you pay, and we determine how many hours have come out since July 1st. So it's about 11.5 hours per week. Also spoke to Laura about some opportunities for limiting the amount of hours spent on things other than just preparing the meals. One of the items was used to drive out the BJ's to buy bulk items. We can actually have those things delivered so that you don't have to drive out there to get them. I think the one place is about 2 hours per trip. And so if we have those things delivered, then that trip may not be necessary, which would add additional hours. And even if it's not BJ's, there are other places you can have things delivered. If you need, in fact, let me give you an example. I don't know if any of you have cats, but if you go into a grocery store and I look for cat food, the shelves are just bare. I don't know when cat food became the new toilet paper, but there just is literally no cat food.
Send them after the mice.
Good point. my wife and I were looking one day, we have a couple of cats, and we're like, you know, if we got to feed them, so you get food. You can go on Amazon and set it up so that they will send you, in our case, with cat food every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks we come home, there's a box on the steps, it's got the cat food in it. And you can set it up the same way if you needed cups, plates, all those things. You can set it up. So they're automatically delivered from Amazon. And if you're using Amazon Prime, the delivery is free, which we have Prime accounts. And it saves you from having to go out and get those things. So I think we need to try to do things a little bit more efficient. Plus, we have hours that are available so that you can, before we add any additional hours to it, we need to make sure that, again, we're doing things the most efficient way we can and utilize, you know, the hours that we have. There's about 15 hours in the bank. There was 30 pay periods so far, I think, or 30 weeks. And so at using 11 and a half per week, that's about 15 additional hours that they have in the bank they could use, plus, you know, ordering things online with what we can. So,
excuse me.
Yeah.
You're quoting the number of hours that she was paid, 11 point, whatever you said. That's not taking into consideration the additional hours that she's spending that she isn't getting paid for, correct?
Well, you're going to have to document those hours. You really shouldn't be doing initial hours that are getting paid anyway. So if that's the case, document those hours and put them in as part of your pay.
Then I will do that.
Yeah.
Because I have consistently worked. Again, I can only get paid for 12 hours. That is what I was told. I have consistently been told that I can work only 12 hours. And if I need additional ones, I basically have to beg, plead, and jump through hoops is really what it has come down to. I have been told this repeatedly. I have 12 hours. If you have more, then you have to exactly get them all approved. But like I explained before, if I am at the grocery store and I am already 9 hours in and I still have to go to work, and now four people grab my ear and I have to respond to emails, and now someone falls on the ground and I'm at work for an additional hour and a half because there's an emergency. I honestly don't put those things on my sheet because it's literally a barter and begging and pleading of things that constantly is a battle.
There's no begging and bargaining. There's a budget process that we go through. You need to put in your hours that you're working.
Then I will continue to put in the hours that I'm working. But I need you to understand that even on a week of Thanksgiving, when I cook for 100 people, there's only so many volunteers that can do so many hours. There's only so much room in a kitchen. But all of that work still has to get done. So if that week I do 40 hours, and then in the previous week we have 2 days off and, you know, I only get 6 hours, yes, they all bank and budget and seem to load into each other, but yet somehow I am being forced to constantly really stretch for 1 hour. If there's an additional staff meeting, if right now today, here I am, it's 1 hour of my time, I should be getting paid because this is affiliated with work. So now I either have to really hustle this week to cut down my hours to be able to get it in 12,
but we talked about that the other day. It's an average of 12 hours. So for example, you've been through Thanksgiving. And so if you put 100 hours or 40 hours, whatever it is at Thanksgiving, you still only averaged 11 and a half hours for the whole year, which includes Thanksgiving. So somehow you're able to fit those additional hours in within that time period. If you go over 13 hours on 1 week and then 11 the next, that's fine. It just has to average that 12 hours for the whole year. And so, like I said, I mean, you got 15 hours essentially that you're under now that you can use. And then if we can again, hopefully, you know, reduce trips by ordering and things like that. That may help.
Excuse me, can I ask what the budget year is? Does it start July 1st?
We're on a fiscal year, July 1st, correct.
Yes, the budget that they gave me was $8,600 from July 1st to July 1st.
Does the special revenue account, can that help offset her wages as well as expenses?
The wages are set. Now, yes, at some point there could be a request that, and it should be really through the budget process, that we need an additional hour, 2 hours a week. And we believe that there's enough money within the special revenue account, and this is how we want to fund it. Then that can be done. Yes, you can use the special revenue account. It's gotta be approved by the Board of Selectmen. I can't increase people's wages or increase their hours. That's got to be done by the Board of Selectmen. But that can be done through a special revenue account.
May I ask a question? How would I go about negotiating my terms for what I would be looking for the upcoming year regarding my salary as well as hours?
I'm sure I call it a negotiation, but you would make the request to your supervisor, and then that goes forward as part of the budget process.
And if the supervisor has already said that she would not be willing to advocate for you, would you be willing to, do I go and speak to the Board of Selectmen directly, or how would I go about this?
First off, I have a hard time believing a director won't advocate on behalf of a legitimate concern. So she puts forward the budget. The budget goes to the director, and then it goes to me. What you need to do is speak to the director if you believe that there should be more funding. You know, I would point one thing out. Your original proposal said that you wanted to get paid $14.12 per hour. And that was on July 1st of 2020. Let me finish. At that amount, you would be getting paid right now $14.51. We're currently paying you $15 an hour. So you're actually getting paid more than what the original proposal was. So, there was a $2 increase, and I think there's so many weeds here, but there was a $2 increase that was approved as of last year that brought you to $15 an hour. So we're actually paying you more than what you would have under the original proposal if you go forward.
And that is exactly why we agreed on those terms for being what it was, is that the $15 an hour was more than fair for what it was, and that the Board of Selectmen had agreed on that.
Board of Selectmen never... there was a proposal. You wrote a proposal, then the director at that time brought a proposal forward. The Board of Selectmen at that time said the wages would stay at $13 an hour and it would be addressed at the next budget cycle. The next budget cycle, which was July 1st of 2021, was increased to $15 an hour. So you've been paid $15 an hour for this year. And then it's like everybody else, it's scheduled to go up 2.75% if the budget's approved as going to be presented. And there may be some money in there that for additional raises based on a salary survey, which hasn't been completed yet.
Okay. But that's, I also have an email that says that I will then receive an email raise every July 1st following from you.
It's true.
Correct? Okay.
Yeah, that's why I said there'd be a 2.75% increase in July 1st the current this
across
year.
Across the board. So the across the board.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Also, when I presented the proposal, we were also in grab-and-go form. I know that the wording was also that we would then look into the hours and so on, et cetera, dependent on when we reopened for in-house dining, which is what I'm doing. So now I'm operating two operations, pickup as well as in-house dining, which has now led to exactly more of a flow. There's 18 people inside that I cater to, as well as the people outdoors. There's more to what the proposal was written originally, based upon the terms and the situation of the cafe itself.
I think we got a lot more to work on. But the original proposal called for, and I've got it here, it was for actually significantly more meals than you're doing right now. So it actually called for a significant increase over the current amount of meals we're doing. I hope we can do more meals. I hope we can get more meals out to seniors. I think that's great. We can always look at the hours. Yeah.
We need to contact the seniors. Because, I mean, everybody that's coming in comes in consistently.
Yeah.
And what we need to do is get to them somehow, and that's another part.
Yeah, no, I think that's certainly worthy, and absolutely, I think we need to increase participation at the senior center. I know it's been difficult with COVID and other things, but hopefully we'll be able to increase the amount of people going there. So, and then there was a question, will any portion of the federal COVID funding be allocated for senior programs? What we call ARPA funding, which is the COVID funding. We're receiving about $3 million in ARPA funding. That $3 million, all but about $450,000 has been designated towards certain projects or programs. Those programs fall into five categories in 22 different projects within those five categories. And they're all based around trying to enhance people's quality of life. So you've got kind of general wellness, which is everything from counseling to assisting people who might need funding because of the impacts of COVID. Then it goes on to safety, and that there's different categories within safety for funding. One of the big issues was recreation. One thing that was determined during COVID, and a lot of people wanted to go outside and recreate. So there are, I think, five or six different pools of funding under recreation. Everything from splash pads to fixing up the bike trail. The one that applies to the seniors is the infrastructure, in that there's $35,000 for fixtures and furniture for the community center. And frankly, I had the senior center in mind when it was developed. And so there'd be funding for the senior center and the kitchen that could be used out of that $35,000. Some of it's, and we got to play fair, some of it's got to go to the library, a little bit of a park and rec. But a good chunk of that would go to the senior center, and including the kitchen. And then the other funding is $60,000 for general assistance. Well, that would be to assist people who had negative impacts from COVID, which could be everything from counseling to what other services they may need. We have until 2026 to expend the funds. And like I said, everything but 400 some thousand was approved at a town meeting a week ago, I guess. Except the point in after a while, I think it was last week that was approved at a town meeting. So for seniors, other than general, I mean, seniors do recreation, seniors use the bike trail, seniors do those things too. Seniors use technology, there's a certain amount of money for technology. But I think the two biggest buckets, the primary bucket would be the fixtures and furniture in the community center, and the other would be those who need general assistance.
No question.
Yep.
For dinner assistance.
Yep.
Are you going to hire some person to work with
them? No. It'll be done through the Senior Social Services Department.
They're busy enough now. So taking additional.
Yeah, but
they're difficult.
They come to me now with things that they'd like to spend money on, you know, people's requests and things like that, and I will have the funding to be able to do that. I don't think it's a matter of volume. I think it's a matter of having, you know, the program and the funding in place to be able to assist people.
Okay.
If at some point we do find that there's more applications that we have time to process them, then we can deal with it. But as of right now, I think they can handle that workload. And that's the indication that they've given to me. So that's the ARPA funding. I mean, it provides a good opportunity to town, a lot of different areas, and including for seniors. Any questions on the ARPA funding?
Who do we go? I mean, if somebody wants to put something in and say, boy, this is really needed, yeah. Who do you go to?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We're in the process of developing that right now because we have a number of different programs that we have funding for. I've talked to Noah. We're working on the criteria for how you determine who would get what funding and under, you know, what things they'd have to meet. We're working on that. Once we get that done, it'll have to be advertised and move forward. We'll probably deal with the Board of Selectmen also. We also have funding opportunities for nonprofits, for businesses, for the Arts, Arts Council, and those other groups. And we're developing an application process for them, the criteria, and then in those cases, that would be the Board of Selectmen who would make the determination as to who gets what funding. We're looking, the nice thing about Senior Social Services is it can somewhat be a first come, first serve. In other words, you know, we've got the money, we'll use it, and then as long as it lasts. With the other programs, we're going to have a set period in which people can apply. We'll look at the applications, determine which one has the greatest, it seems like the best applications, greatest merit, and then they'll make a selection at that time with the funding that they have available. So, but yeah, this is going to be the bottom line. It's the answers is still being determined. All right. The other question was on the status of the search of the senior center coordinator. The position actually closes today. We've got 8 to 10 candidates. Since I haven't looked at all the applications since that hasn't closed yet, but I did a quick look. We're going to be 8 to 10 candidates, and then we'll set up a competitive process for selection and move forward. But I did look at a couple of candidates.
Are you going to do the same thing where you had a committee that interviewed them?
Yeah, there will be an interview panel. I'm not sure who that interview panel will be made up of yet. We haven't determined that, but there will be a panel.
Good.
Yeah.
That seems to work.
Yeah, I think all our positions we have panels for. We set up panels. Depending on if they're director level, we may have people come in from other towns. We'll have, you sit on one. If it's a lower level position, we may just have it be town staff that sit on it, but there will always be a selection panel that will be seen.
I've been on it a couple of times. It's very interesting.
Yeah. They're not easy decisions sometimes, but.
Have you thought more about the enticement to a person who wants to work here? I mean, we seem to lose them.
But as of right now, that's unfortunately kind of a common occurrence. We have positions now that we've been trying to fill for months, but the thing is, so is a lot of other municipalities. For example, like building officials and assessors. We've had the assessor that's been out since I think October, and we put the raise the price. You just can't recruit anybody in. So it's not, I mean, is it an issue with municipalities? It's just an issue with the labor force in general. You just can't get people to come in and work. It's amazing. And even when we've raised, I know there's people who applied that we're offering them more than their current employer is still up. And, you know, it's hard to determine why sometimes. Sometimes it's just comfortable where they are. Sometimes I had two people, I give them a hiring letter, a significant increase in pay. They just go back, bring it to their current employer and negotiate a new increase, and then call me up and say, well, thanks, but I'm going to take a position. I think I've gotten half the assessors in the Farmington Valley, significant increase. So it's unfortunate. The flip side of that is we got people who work part-time jobs for decades. People have come in, they've taken a part-time job, they like it, it fits in their schedule, it meets the needs, and they stay for a long period of time. So generally we will suit the position the position to what's needed, and hopefully we'll find a good candidate. So, there's a question about, is a senior coordinator under the Department of Parks and Rec, If so, is the senior program also under Park and Rec? Okay. The senior center coordinator is not under Park and Rec, and the whole senior center is not under Park and Rec. Park and Rec is a separate entity. We have the Senior Social Services Department, and that department encompasses really two things, social services and senior programming. We tried to break it up and put it under Park and Rec at one time, but it was unsuccessful, and we never really looked at it since then. It was painful enough the first time around. So I don't see us going in that direction, but well, you never know. And I think it works. Social services certainly shouldn't be on the Park and Rec. It's a whole different animal. But as far as programming for seniors go, I think they do a good job in Park and Rec as we do. But I think they're more, they could be much better coordination. And if they fall under the same umbrella, in my mind, I think you'd get better services for seniors. You get more programming and things. It's just that not everybody's seen it that way. It hasn't changed.
Yeah. Avon is like that.
It's like that too.
Yeah. The programming is with the person who worked for him, he was half time in the department rep.
Yeah.
And then half time in social. So that was other city, other towns.
The other concern I've always had is that it seems like a lot of it because that's the emergency in front of you, but it seems like social services gets a lot of the emphasis. It's a lot of the time, it's a lot of the focus of the director. And again, it's because that's the emergency that's before you and that's what you need to address. And so I think at times the senior programs has kind of taken a second seat to social services. And again, it's not because everybody wants to short sight and demean them, it's just that, again, that's where your focus is at the moment. So, I still think that in the long term, it would be better if it was under Park and Rec and that it was separate from social service. There still needs a coordination between the two, but it just, I'm just afraid that senior services isn't getting everything that they should. So. But it is not under Park and Rec. You know, the one good thing is we did set up a special revenue account, so it has some of the characteristics of Park and Rec. But it's not under Park and Rec.
Except the newsletter.
Yeah, well, the newsletter is actually a joint venture between Senior Social Services, Park and Rec, and the library. They all work together and they put it out, and it went out to every household. And you know, in fact, that kind of is a good segue into the next question, which had to do with the survey and sending it out under the newsletter. And you know, I think that would be great. I don't know if you'd send the whole survey out in the newsletter, although you may be able to, but certainly advertise it and put a link to it so that you could go and complete the survey. I think that would be good. And that goes out to every household. So I think the next one will be going out sometime in the spring, which, you know, will give you enough time to kind of finalize the survey and kind of promote it and then send it out through the newsletter and also what we call Be Notified, which there's about 1,000 people signed up on, which sends emails directly out to people, Facebook, and, you know, social media, and wherever else you can do it. But I think using the newsletter as part of that would be good. And I had a comment the other day when we met. I did say that I thought it would be nice if it went out to other than just seniors. It went out to everybody. Everybody got a chance to respond. Yeah. Yeah, one of the questions can be, how old are you? And put it as a category. Most people don't want to say I'm exactly this. So, you know, I'm between 35 and 40. Mm-hmm. But give everybody a chance to respond. I mean, too often we look at the senior center and senior programming are for those that are in advanced years. But, you know, I'm a senior.
People with parents, they want to help too. So.
Yeah, that's a very good point also.
Seniors need somebody to bring them, so somebody to know about it to get them interested.
Yeah.
Again, but there's a lot of seniors who are very mobile and you know are looking for activities, and yes. So you know we need to hear more than just the older seniors, but also all seniors should have an opportunity. Just go over a couple of things quickly about the senior center. I'm sure some of you mentioned the multi-purpose room has been painted. We do have issue with the HVAC, which has been painfully clear in a couple of days. The issue there is even after we we're talking about $26,000 to fix that, so it's not a cheap fix. It includes both the radiators on the inside and the whatever the system is that's outside to the pump. So we need to fix both those items. We did get approved. We did contract with somebody to do it. You know, the next holdup is like everything else. The system we're looking for is more likely stuck on a ship of California somewhere. And so we got to wait for it to get delivered. So it could take a month or two before it's delivered. You know, the concern down there is we can put space heaters in and keep it fairly warm. But once it gets hot outside, we can't keep it cool. So we want to make sure we get this in place prior to the hot weather coming. I think is the goal. The other thing is we did apply for a grant to replace the Dial-A-Ride van, and that was approved. So we got approved for a $7 grant to replace the Dial-A-Ride van. I know Tanoa I think last week went to some classes on that. You have to go to a certain seminar, I guess, but before they allow you to finalize the application. But it has been approved and was approved by the Board of Selectmen. We installed a large flat screen TV down there for senior programming. Most importantly, Lee Bowling. With the ARPA money, we are looking to do new furniture, some new fixtures. We have done the office area. There's now a counter in there. That area is much more secure, looks much nicer. We did provide some laptops for technology programming. Now, I was curious. I looked up this morning. 72% of those between the age of 50 and 64 are using social media. 46% of those 65 and older are on Facebook. And I can tell you they're on Facebook because I get comments from them all the time. So there's seniors that are out using technology. So when we talk about, you know, bringing in computers and all these things, not for the young, it's the seniors that are using them, especially social media. So we need to find as we look at programming. Going forward. So that's kind of answer some of your questions, a little bit of an update where we want to go. And, you know, I'll answer any other questions you have or comments.
Actually, I have a question on what you just said. So communications from the senior center, Ginny also mentioned that it was in the strategic plan too, that, you know, it would be great if there was more, there were better ways to get the word out on what's going on, what could go on, and maybe the survey could be a launch pad for that, and hopefully COVID won't be quite such a problem that people actually will want to come. But who is that on? Is that something that gets done by the activities coordinator? Is that do we help facilitate that? How does that work?
No, that's a very good question. I mean, the actual advertising should come down with the people in the department. So it would be the administrative assistant, it would be the coordinator, it would be the director. Between the three of them, they got to get information out. I think traditionally it's come down to the coordinator, usually, especially if it's the senior programming. They used to put the monthly newsletter out and all the other things together. Yeah, she did. They all have, even the other ones before her. But we need to get more information out, better forms of information.
And it's not just the senior center. I know other departments have the same.
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, you look at, like, the libraries have a whole social media section it has out. Our communications director for the town is essentially the town clerk, who does a great job of putting things out on all different forms of social media, plus on the website, all those type of things. But social media does seem to be where people get their information nowadays. You know, we always talk about we got to get that newsletter out and give away everybody's household, which is great. But when people want to do something in the moment, they put on Facebook or they quickly go to the town website and see what's there. So, you know, we need to use all forms of communication.
I have a question. Are you guys going to give out the N95 or other towns are doing it? I cannot find them.
Yeah, we have N95s. You know, you can call Chris Chris Arciero, the police chief.
Uh-huh.
He can set you up with some. If, I mean, are you talking about you individually or seniors in general? Or
seniors in general.
We did.
I got some at my complex.
Yeah, we did. In fact, yeah. We did. We delivered both masks and test kits out to the senior housing areas, uh-huh. the daycares, the people with special needs.
Uh-huh.
We actually gave out quite a bit. But we do have some left. I think you even have some down. Do you have any down enough downstairs?
You also have to go to CVS, and when you're
they don't have it. I went to every drugstore.
But they're giving them away free behind the counter. Don't look to purchase them on the shelves when you're checking out.
They don't have it. I asked the manager, but we have some downstairs.
Yeah, we have a couple boxes. So yeah. If you come in, they're giving them into anybody who comes in.
Oh, okay.
No.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, you can get them. You have them in the police department has them. So if you call Chief Arciero, he can get them to you.
Oh, okay. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm willing to pay.
No. We have closets full. the test kits, I think, were almost out. The masks.
Okay.
The test kits don't seem to be as much demand as they were around the holidays.
Okay.
All right.
Anyone? Tanawa, do you have any questions?
Tanawa, do you have any questions?
Actually, I do have one, just sort of in general, just as a way to kind of move forward. Because I think this was great. Thank you so much for coming in. And when the Board of Selectmen, during the election thing, I talked to a number of them and they said, oh, we love seniors and we want to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that they know really what we have. And is it out of line to sort of ask them to come to one of these meetings or a tour of the senior center? Or do they already know that stuff? I don't know.
Yeah. it only because of meeting requirements and agendas and all stuff usually goes the other way around. We invite you to the Board of Selectmen meeting. But I, one thing is four out of five, I think of the board members that are now all retired. So they, they have the ability to go to a daytime meeting, one doesn't. But you can invite them, just make sure I know, because it will be a legitimate meeting and they're going to have to put down an agenda and all those kind of things in order to meet there. The other thing is, you are an advisory board to the Board of Selectmen, so that goes two ways. I mean, if you want to provide them with information, requests, those type of things, feel free to go to the Board of Selectmen. It is always, money is difficult right now. The budget going forward has actually no special requests that came from departments in it, and it's about a 6.5% increase, which is higher than we've had in years. Mm-hmm. Mostly driven by capital expenditures. The Board of Ed had asked for a lot of capital expenditures. So it's always a priority when it comes to money. It's just difficult, but there's always so much. That pie's only so big. It never grows more than a couple percent a year. And so it's just difficult to figure out where to put the money. The ARPA funding helps, though, because that does, money everywhere dissipate. So.
Well, I showed you, I looked back 5 years trend for the budget and the social service expense. I think senior social service have done pretty good job, double increasing.
Yeah.
And
for a while there was by far the largest growing budget.
Yeah. But then when you think about it, luckily in this town, the percentage of the money that goes into that is, very minuscule, which something to do with the level of income people have and other things. But every time when the budget goes up, tax go up, and we're taxpayers. We are cognizant of this.
Yeah. Our
property tax is not cheap. So.
Well, but that's where it's a great benefit to have that special revenue account.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you figure out some way to bring in additional money through meals, or you get sponsors, or you get something else, that money goes into that special revenue account. And then you can use that money if you want to enhance the food or more hours. You've got that money available there to do it. And Park and Rec has been a master at it, but there are other agencies that have, especially residence halls. And, you know, like Park and Rec puts on the concerts Thursday night at the park. And it would be they go out and get sponsors. So they go out and get businesses and sponsor it, and you know, they pay a certain amount, and then that money goes up to some of the costs of the program. So if we can, you know, figure out a way to increase some of the revenues for the food. We're not getting quite the full amount from the seniors, I'm guessing, because some of those meals, you know, there's because you can't afford to pay for them. But if there were sponsors or some other way, you know, you bring some money. That's additional revenue that they do have to use for senior.
So even if we
Presley
had back again, so even if we had something like, say, there was some. They invited people outside of seniors to come. Maybe they could have like talking donuts, and you have to pay, you know, something like that. So if it's something that money could go to the
In fact, I'm having a conversation now with the director. I'd like to see at least a part of the donations going in that account too. We've got a fair amount of donations. I've been seeing social services. Yeah, I think they're looking at geared towards more the social services side, but there's other donations coming too. And if you could get those to go into that special revenue account, that would be money that could be spent on food and work.
Now, do we have to spend all our does the budget say if we spend?
Shut down, mute the other participants. It should be.
With your telephone minutes, you can roll it over to the next month or the next
year. Yeah. There you go. So if you get that feedback, you can just mute them. And it's causing that problem. It's great to meet you. Somebody's going on and on. You got the control of the computer.
First time I've been in control over here.
I've also got the question. Yeah. No, it's a good question. The nice thing about the special revenue account is that rolls over.
Okay.
So that if you don't use it all, which hopefully you don't, then it rolls over the next year. And that's how you get that surplus in there. In the operating budget, come July 1st, it all goes away and you start over again. So that's one of the big differences between special revenue accounting and the general fund account. Yeah. Cool. All right.
Any other questions? Is it Jen?
We got me.
We really appreciate your taking time. As you know, we're trying to get ourselves organized and get going. So it's really nice. We got the Rebecca and Tanoa is it. And then when we get the coordinator, hopefully we have a good group of people who can all work together.
Yeah, I think that the survey is a good opportunity moving forward, get some information from the public. And, the senior social services should play, a role in what you look at and what you do, but it should go well beyond that, too. I mean, you need to look at the services that seniors are receiving in this town, regardless of where it comes from, mm-hmm. and the quality of those services, and is it meeting all their needs? So everything from senior housing, affordable housing, all those different things are things that you can look at and determine, hey, are seniors getting this all the services that they need, not just bus trips or food, but everything else that they need to. Actually looked at a couple other towns in their minutes and agendas from their Commission on Aging meetings. Most towns that have Commission on Aging in some form or another. And you kind of get a flavor of what some of those other towns are looking at. You know, some point they want to do that too. They're all online. You just go on and look and see what Simsbury's looking at. We had a very active one. Granby's kind of the same agenda every time. But if you do look around, you'll see that some of the things that they're looking at, because they never thought of that. Maybe we ought to take a look at that.
That's interesting. I talked to a couple of social workers there. It's Simsbury and Granby and East Granby. So we're supposed to
meet. Yeah, actually, on I think it was Simsbury's agenda, they talked about a regional commission on aging. I didn't know if you had to hold or not, but they did, and in fact the list can. So that is something they were looking at, which could be great. And not only
Danbury does that, they have like a huge regional Danbury area. And it's like they have their own website for this very large consortium, which is most of that end of the state.
They'll take an
activity and then they'll bring it around to the different senior centers of the towns in that area. So they can really make use of things that get developed.
Yeah, no, I just think of, you know, our transportation needs and all those. We've talked for years about regional dialer eye.
Yeah.
You know, we all these little districts you can't go outside of. And, you know, if we had a regional dialer eye, we'd be able to do something. You know, I mean, and the best place to address those kind of concepts would be through a regional commission. I mean, you still have all your local ones, but you could have somebody to send out to it. So, and I know you guys got other things on the agenda, I'm sure. So,
thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. Appreciate the work that you do.
And you'll be hearing more from us.
Sure. That's fine. All right. Thank you.
One thought has nothing to do with this. Two people recommended to be moved up to regular members. Is that on the agenda yet?
I think they were. I'm pretty sure they were.
Nobody's been notified.
All right. I'll check with my
office. I can't send a note.
I'll check when I get back. They work. Yeah.
Okay.
You made it to that.
Okay.
So we could have
voted today.
We could have
voted those minutes in.
Two
alternate positions. Right?
Yeah.
Do
when somebody moves up, they'll open up, right?
Yeah. Do they send the application to you?
They can send the application to myself and Bob Essel if you want. You can send it there too. But that will be determined by the appointments committee. We'll make a recommendation to the board of selectmen.
Right.
So the way it works, once a vacancy is open, it's supposed to wait 30 days and then give people a chance to apply. After 30 days, it goes to the appointment committee. The appointment committee takes a look at it, makes a recommendation to the full board of selectmen, and it's the board of selectmen that makes the appointment.
Okay. I have a phone person who works for IT at the health center.
Yeah.
That
should be great.
We need
a night. I mean, if you have people who might be interested in it, let us know. Because, you know, it's not always easy to fill these positions. So if you have somebody who's interested, please let us know.
So he or she should apply, send a letter to you with the resume.
Yep.
And
that would be great.
Wait for 30 minutes, right?
30 days. We're not that quick. Believe me. And then we have to wait the 30 days, right? They would be considered with any other applications that we got.
Okay, that'd be good. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Lots of
questions answered. I don't mean to run, but I gotta get back.
You're probably hungry too. Well, it looks like the rest of the agenda has to wait till next week. Because this is almost time. But
this has been very, very informative.
Thank you. So happy. So, could someone make a motion to
adjourn? See ya.
Bye. Thank you.
Motion to adjourn. Motion to adjourn. So move.
Yeah, she has to do it.
Yeah, I move.
And then we can't hear Nancy because she's muted.
She's muted.
No, Nancy.
Well, now you are a regular member.
Okay.
So you can check on that.
Second. She said, I think they were.
Yeah, because they are going to the president meeting, or president meeting that next 30 days when we.
Rebecca, I'm sorry we didn't get all your stuff. That's all right. We'll talk about
next month. Can you second?
You said get it.
Okay. meeting
adjourned.
All in favor?
We are finding us.
Yeah. Meeting adjourned.
Meeting adjourned.
Yeah.
Thank you, Laura.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for coming.
No, it's good that you were here too, because only you know these things.
Yeah. I will see you Friday.
Maybe if you need.
Maybe.
Okay. I came in last Wednesday just to say hi, and then you're coming in Friday.
I come Fridays.
Yeah.
And let me know if you need anything. Give me a call. Okay. You want us to come in early for help?
Okay.
I get to go to work.
Yes.
Hi, Daddy.
Bye.
Bye, Salah. Bye, Nancy.